The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone, welcome to the show, Matt Slick Live. You're listening to Matt Slick. So if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. I hope you had a great weekend. I had a busy weekend, as is usually the case, except yesterday. Yesterday, only had about a half day. Just working, relaxed, got a friend over, and it was not really nice. Anyway, today, what we're going to be doing is continuing with the calls as you call in, and all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and that'll be good. There we go. Okay, got the audio fixed. Sorry about that. I did the audio, and I sent it to the wrong one. I was so rushed. So, okay. Hey, there you go. Why don't we just jump on the phones? Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My question is the 144,000 Jews in Revelation, are they supposed to be just in Israel or throughout the entire world?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure how to answer that. That's a really good question. I always assumed it was just in Israel, as they're preaching and teaching in Israel. But just the fact that that's really interesting, because for one thing, I've never been asked that question that I can remember. And so that surprises me, because usually I don't hear anything much new anymore. It says, from every tribe of the sons of Israel in Revelation 7, tribe of Judah. Asher. So they're Jews. I got to check. And it says, after this I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. So another angel standing from the rising sun, having the seal, do not harm the earth or sea or trees until we have sealed the bond servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard a number of those who were sealed. Whoa, that's interesting. The bond servants of our God, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bond servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard a number of those who were sealed, 144,000, from every tribe of Israel. So the bond servants are the 144,000. Good question. I don't see anything that I'm looking through the text while I'm talking. I don't see anything that necessitates it only being in Israel. So that would be interesting. That's a good question, man. Okay. I don't have a good answer for you. I think it's possible. Okay, now, maybe someone else knows. Maybe someone studied this and they could call up and say, hey, this is the correct answer because of this verse. And that's fine. You know, call me up, let me know. But top of my head, that's a good question. Okay.
Thank you, because I was trying to figure it out. And I figured if anybody knew, you would.
Well, you stumped me. How about that?
Not this time, huh?
Yeah, you did? I don't know. Have the answer.
Well, thank you.
It's a good question.
Well, thank you anyway.
All right, brother. God bless, man.
God bless you, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, folks, I want you to give me a call. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Glenn from North Carolina. Glenn, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Matt. I'm calling back about that question in Matthew.
Yeah. And Matthew 8, as it says, and what was your question again?
The many, because the Lord makes a distinction. He makes a distinction between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children. So there's two different groups of people, and the many make a third group.
Well, maybe not. Let's see. I'm going to do this. I'm just for kicks. because I've been super busy this weekend, except for yesterday, took a day off. But the many occurs yet among the many nations, the many peoples in Psalm, and Isaiah 53, interesting. My servant will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. He will justify the many. That is so interesting. And the next occurrence is in Ezekiel, the many peoples, in the sight of the many nations, the many... Okay, look at this. In Daniel 9:27, he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he'll put a stop. So we have the many there, the many here. Okay, we'll give understanding to the many. Those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. Okay, that could be similar. Because what I've noticed, let me tell you why it's interesting. What I learned years ago was that God will use a word or a pattern of words differently than we do. For example, I'll ask people, does God know everyone? And they'll say, of course he does. And I say, no, he doesn't. You know, get away from me, I never knew you. And so we see that when he says, I never knew you, it means you're not saved, you're never in that relationship with him. And that's what he means. He's not talking about his omniscience. And the word all has different meanings in different senses, in different contexts. You know, all of Judea was going out to John the Baptist. Well, it doesn't mean every individual. It means all of the people in that area geographically were coming in. It doesn't mean every individual. And then all the world was in turmoil. I forgot where. Well, it doesn't mean every nation, you know, and all the people in Australia either. And so there's all who die in Christ. That is everybody. But then there's all who are alive in Christ. That's not everybody. And another one is foreknow. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, Romans 8:28. And the ones who are foreknown are the same group as the predestined ones. So what does he mean by foreknow there? And yet, the foreknowledge of God is a slightly different. So I've learned over the years that words and patterns, I've learned, don't assume anything. Just ask, how does God use it? And because we have this great technology now, we can do searches, so we can find every instance of something. So, having said that, I could, I've got my little Bible program, and I could just type in the phrase, the many, and put it in parentheses, the many, and I could find every single instance in the New Testament. Why did that not happen like that? Or in the Bible. And then what I normally will do is I'll take every one of them and I'll export it to an Excel spreadsheet. Then I arrange them and I do something, I analyze them. It's a process I go through. So there's 23 verses that have the word the and many in them. And see, it wouldn't take much for me to examine that. All right. So, when it says for the many, I'm not exactly sure who it will be. Because when we go, for example, to, come on, get over here. When we go to Romans 5:15.
Well, he doesn't say the many. He says that many. That many.
Well, you mean in Romans 5:15?
No, I was talking about in Matthew. He says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from these. What struck me is what just happened there. I think the Lord's trying, he's telling us who the many is if we just listen to what he's addressing there.
Well, I don't know if it's the same phrase.
That he says that right there.
No, I don't know if it's the same phrase.
I just don't think it's coincidence.
Maybe. But you see, you really got me going on this because your questions, your comments are perfect for what the text is and for learning something new in Scripture. See, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west. I don't think it refers to a specific group called the many, because there is a group called the many. There's two different groups called the many, believe it or not, just like there's two different groups called the all. Yeah, it's weird. Scripture does these things, and not many people know about this. They don't do the studies. But, I've been totally busy this weekend. And, so I haven't had time to study.
Well,
in fact, I've been in my office for 2 days.
What stuck with me is he said that, regarding to the centurion and his faith, that's why I was, that's what helped me, like Lee, is he talking about people of faith there, because that's what it seems like. That's really what it seems like. That's why I was,
Yeah. It's really an interesting, it's really an interesting text, because, you know, it says in verse 11, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now that phrase, they're going to recline with them, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, I don't know what to do with that one. Now, I'd like to see a preterist, a partial preterist, a postmillennialist, an amillennialist, and a premillennialist give me their interpretations of that verse. Is it symbolic or is it literal? And that's the first question. Or is it both? So, you know what? That's good stuff, man. Actually, I got my buds and I, we're going to be taking a break in a while, after a couple hours. I could bring this up and just say, hey, guys, take a look at this. A caller on the radio, blah, 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 and we'll talk about it. Maybe I'll do that, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. I don't know, man. I get two calls in a row where I'm not sure what the answer is. And it does happen. Okay?
All right, thank you, Matt.
All right, man, I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff. Matthew 8, 10 through 12. I got to study that some more. All right. Hey, three open lines. All you got to do is give me a call at 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike from North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I called you a few weeks back about currency, but anyway, this is a different question. This one is about what's the phrase, not to use the Lord's name in vain, mean?
It means, instead of what it doesn't mean, I tell people what it should, how we are to use the Lord's name, and then they get it. So the Lord's name represents Him. He is the I Am. Jesus is I Am in flesh, and you're to be holy for I am holy, and God, and there's reverence to God. The Jews understood what it meant, that you would not use any title of God or the name of God unless it was in reverence, period. So He was so holy and so vast and so righteous that His name, which doesn't mean Bob, it means Yahweh, Lord, you know, the King, the Holy One, all these titles would always be used in a reverential and respectful manner to God. And so using His name in vain would be anything that did not do that. Okay?
Okay. So if someone says, oh,
right,
God,
yeah,
then that's basically using their name in vain, because it's not using,
yes,
reverentially, right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Yep.
I have another question in regards to that.
They'll say Jesus' name, and they do it on they do it on radio, they do it on TV, they do it in movies, and it's increasing. And it's, I believe it's a demonic influence.
Oh, yeah.
In that people want God's name to be used. I mean, the unbelievers do that because they don't have reverence for God. They use His name in vain. I've even asked atheists in rooms when they use His name in vain, they go, why do you do that? Why do you use Jesus' name in vain? And they'll give me some excuse, and that gives me an opportunity to witness to them about some stuff. We've got a break coming on. Can you hold Mike for after the break? Okay?
Yeah.
All right, buddy? All right, man. Hey, three open lines. If you guys want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike from North Carolina. All right, buddy, you're back on.
Matt, the other thing I have a question is, relates to the same thing, is we have members in our church that when they pray, they use the word God 20, 30 times in one prayer. It would be like me talking to you saying, you know, Matt, I have a question for you, Matt.
I know what it is.
And you know, Matt, yesterday, Matt, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I sit there and I think, I say, is this using the Lord's name in vain?
No.
Because it's senseless. That's not how we talk. That's not how I talk to God. I mean, no. I don't talk to him in a way of, you know, hey, Dad, how cool.
No, I get
you. It's not like that.
No, I understand. You know? When people are praying and they pray that way and they use his name constantly, Lord, and, you know, over and over and over, I don't say anything about it. I don't worry about it. It's not a concern. And the reason is because they're in prayer to God and they're saying his name over and over. I don't see it as being anything vain. They're addressing him and they're appealing to, they're calling on him over and over. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, that helps.
Yeah.
Well, that, I guess now it won't drive me as crazy.
Yeah, you know,
it won't bother me as much.
In one of my novels that I've written, there are angels and there are demons, and I write about them, you know, warring in the spiritual realm. And there's a guy who, his name's Mark, and there's some other people. Anyway, this one guy prays, and during his prayer, the demons can't attack. And it's not, I'm saying it's how it is, but it's such a reverential thing that even the demonic forces in my novel, and I took, you know, I took a little bit of literary license, they won't even go near. It's such a reverential thing, and if I just had that attitude, that's what prayer is. So if someone is praying, then, you know, and they use the Lord's name over and over again, that's fine, you know.
Okay.
It's between them and God. And they're not out there cussing and swearing. They're in prayer. There you go. Good enough. They use it a lot, then they don't. You know, that's okay. All right?
Well, that gives me a different perspective.
It's a different perspective.
Praise God. And one more point on my call that I made a few weeks ago. We do have a diverse measure in our pockets, and that's the U.S. dollar. Look at prices. They're going all over the place, And that's because the government has printed too much money, and they want to print more. But that's the main cause of inflation. And I think what we're headed for now is something that's much, much worse. It's called stagflation.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
The economy is shrinking.
It is, and the Dems are doing, you know, they hate America, et cetera. They don't like the Constitution. They don't believe in the economy. They're socialists. But, you know, come November, I believe things are going to change. If they don't, because the voting doesn't seem to manifest, for somehow, then there's going to be some real problems. Because I think people are pretty much fed up and are waiting patiently for November. Because there are conservatives rising up all over the place, and the polls are negative for in every demographic about the Democrats. So something's going to change.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is.
Well, I just pray. One of the things we Christians should have in our prayers is that I hope we don't have one of those oh, Bubba moments where people say, that's it. Time to get the pitchforks out.
I hope not.
And
but if they come for our guns, that may happen because there are too many people in America who won't give them up. I don't care. They're going to have to come take them out of their dead cold hands kind of a thing. And, you know, right or wrong, that's what's going on. And, you know, so I'm with you. But you know what? The thing is, I've noticed that there are people who are conservatives who said, I've had enough of this, and they're getting into school boards. They're getting into a low level, just in the city that they're living in, on boards and things like this. They're moving in. I know a guy who left pastoring in order to get into politics. That's it. I'm like, praise God.
Amen.
That's right. We need more of that, and it's happening. And then when it does happen, things will get better. Things will get better. Okay?
It reminds me of a passage from the Bible that says, if my people who are called by my name will repent, then I will heal their land. Mm-hmm. It didn't say if the people of the land will repent. It said, if my people will repent.
Yep.
And that's what we need to do, because we have been out of the fight for too many years.
Yeah, I agree. We're getting back in the fight. People are getting in, and they're starting to realize what needs to happen. And, believe it or not, more and more preachers, I'm getting word now, are actually speaking about these kinds of things from the pulpit. They're not turning the pulpit into a political rally, but they are not shying away. And this is the kind of thing that needs to happen more and more. So praise God. And we Christians need to unite. But I'll tell you something. Those leftists, you know, they want, you know, let's see. In January 6th, people walked in. Some people broke a few things in the Capitol, and the police said they could come in. That's called an insurrection, right? And so people are standing outside and picketing outside the Supreme Court's House people, the judges, which is an intimidation and a threat to make sure the law passes a certain way. That is insurrection. And yet nothing's done about it.
Yes.
And so we have people in government who are hypocrites, who have been in way too long. What needs to happen is they need to get I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but they need to get people in, and then they need to vote in and establish it. I think it's like 38 states are necessary, and get term limits on these senators and these congressmen people. Term limits, two terms max, get out, because they get entrenched, and they have power, and they manipulate, and they get insider trading, and stuff. And so we see these things, so we have an opportunity in November to begin a change. Okay?
Well, they are coming after one of our weapons, which is freedom of speech, because they shut people down all over the place. They have big tech doing it.
Of course.
You've experienced it.
Oh, yeah, I get it. All the time. When they get in there talking about getting rid of get rid of the Second Amendment, well, when that happens, then they'll get rid of the First. Because then our Constitution is undone, and it doesn't matter. We won't have any power, and we won't have any freedom to express, and we'll become a police state like China is, with the all this stuff. But there are too many people who are aware.
The Democratic Party is very familiar.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. The Democratic Party is very much aware of what a police state is like, because during Jim Crow, that's exactly what it was. It was a police state.
Yeah. People don't know how bad the Democratic Party has been, because it's the party of racism, slavery, Jim Crow, KKK. It is. And I've got the documentation on their website. And what?
And sexism. They opposed the women's right to vote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People don't know. They're such liars. They do these bad things, and then they try and take credit for what other people do in a good way. And then they blame others for the problems they cause. Gosh. Anyway, we've got to go, buddy. Okay? All right,
okay,
man.
Sure enough.
All right. Thanks. Hey, folks, four open lines, bottom of the hour. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Give me a call.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we talk about everything. Not so much politics, because this is a Christian theological apologetics kind of a thing. If you want to talk about the Bible, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, the preaching you're listening to, Bible studies you go to, things that happen, women pastors and elders, all kinds of stuff. Baptism, is it necessary for salvation? Is Roman Catholicism Christian? Incidentally, no, it's not. And is baptism necessary for salvation? No, it's not. Oh, that reminds me. We just began today. We're going to try and get a debate going with a Mormon in Ogden, Utah, in a few months. On works necessary for salvation? So we're going to see. I'm hoping it comes to pass. And looking like, for those of you who might be interested, how about this? I'm going to throw this out at you, okay? If you're interested, I've been in contact with some people in Japan, and they want me to come over and preach and teach. And so, because there are a few Christian churches, but it costs money, the flights, the hotels, and all this stuff. This one guy owns a travel agency, and what they can do, and I thought this was a great idea, is have a 10-day travel tour. Like, we're going to go to Israel in February next year, do a 10-day travel tour in Japan. And the guy is telling me there's some incredible sights there, things to see, these guards, the hanging this, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds interesting. And then go to different church places, and I would preach and teach. It'd be like a preaching, teaching, kind of a combo tour thing for people who might want to go, who are Carmites, who might want to go to Japan. And supposed to be bus time and talking time and hotels and all that kind of stuff, and have one or two interpreters there. They even live there. They're American guys. And then there's another one who's a Japanese guy, but he speaks great English. They're telling me about it yesterday. So that's in the works. If that sounds interesting, give me, you know, just give me an email. Go, hey, that sounds interesting. I think it was going to be like $3,500 to $4,000 for the whole thing. That was just a real rough number in Japan, and maybe in November-ish, as we're talking about. If that sounds interesting, real early, real preliminary, just wouldn't mind knowing. Just contact me at info@carm.org. You know what? I said there was four open lines, and there's still four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Rebecca from North Carolina was going to get on the line here and talk about something with the road to Emmaus out of Luke 24. And we have nobody waiting. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right, just because of what that guy was saying, and because we need to be encouraged of what's going on in our country. There are a lot of bad things that are going on, but people are waking up, and that is good. That is very good. God often uses bad things to get the people of God moving. So I've got a list of stuff I want to read to you, because I'm going to kill some time right now until someone gives me a call. 877-207-2276. I have a history of the Democratic Party. Now, I'm going to read. Now, if you're a Democrat, listen. Say, is this the party you want to be a part of? In 1829, the Democratic Party is founded on a platform of individual rights, state sovereignty, and pro-slavery. In 1830, Democratic President Andrew Jackson creates the Indian Removal Act that forced indigenous people to leave their homeland. In 1854, the Republican Party is founded on an anti-slavery platform. In 1857, in a case of Scott versus Sanford, the court ruled that slaves aren't citizens, they're property. The seven justices voting in favor were Democrats. The two who dissented were Republicans. In 1860, 11 slave states secede from the Union. Democrats start the Civil War. In 1863, Republican President Abraham Lincoln signs the Emancipation Proclamation. Let's see, move along. 1865, Republicans pass the 13th Amendment that permanently outlaws slavery. 1865, Democrats established black codes, a state and local, they were state and local statutes intended to marginalize blacks and keep them in indentured servitude. Poll taxes and literacy tests prevented them from voting. 1865, Confederate veterans founded the KKK to oppose the Republican Party's integration of blacks. Its first Grand Wizard was a Democrat named Nathan Bedford Forrest. 1868, Republicans passed the 14th Amendment giving blacks citizenship. It was opposed by the Democrats. And also, Republicans passed the 15th Amendment giving blacks the right to vote. No Democrat supported it. In 1868, again, a KKK Grand Wizard is honored at the Democratic National Convention. 1869, Reconstruction ended. Democrats reestablished white supremacy in the South with Jim Crow laws that legalized segregation that would take another 100 years to abolish. In 1872, Republicans elect the first African-American senators and representatives. 1878, Republican Senator Aaron Sargent introduces the 19th Amendment to give women the right to vote. The Democrats-controlled Congress voted it out. 1911, Democrat President Woodrow Wilson stuffs his cabinet with Dixiecrats, powerful Southern Democrats, and set back the cause of civil rights for decades. 1918, the KKK is reestablished, targeting immigrants, Jews, and Catholics, in addition to blacks. In 1919, Republican Congress passed the 19th Amendment, guaranteeing women the right to vote. 1922, Democrats tried to keep lynching legal by creating a filibuster in the Senate. In 1929, Republican Octaviano Larrazolo becomes the first Mexican-American senator. In 1929, again, Republican Charles Curtis becomes the first Native American vice president. How about that? 1939, Democrat and KKK cover girl Margaret Sanger created the Negro Project and Planned Parenthood to cull the black population. 1954, Republican lawmakers outlawed segregation in public school, opposed by state Democrats. Republican President Eisenhower sent in federal troops to enforce the law. We've got three more dates here, and then we'll get to the callers. 1959, first Republican Asian Senator Hiram Fong is elected. 1964, President Johnson successfully runs an ad titled Confessions of a Republican. Democrats learn that by accusing Republicans of racism, even without evidence, they can gain political power. In 1964, the Republican-controlled Congress passes the 1964 Civil Rights Act as an extension of the Republicans' 1957 and 1960 Civil Rights Act. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for a record 75 days. That means they tried to stop it. Now that's up to 1964. I'm sure there's a lot more. And I've seen this kind of stuff before, and what gets me is how the news media favors the Democrats, how the Democrats accuse everybody else of racism, no matter what it is. And yet their party is the party of Jim Crow, of slavery, of the KKK, of opposing women's rights, women voting, all kinds of stuff. They opposed mixing, you know, the blacks, browns, and whites. They didn't want that to happen. And then they come off like they're the party of the people. Folks, don't be duped, okay? Do your research. You can find the stuff online. It's easy. Don't be duped. Do your research. Let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome, buddy. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt Slick. Hope you're doing well today, sir. Enjoying your show as usual.
Yeah, man. Good. I'm enjoying the show myself. Having a good time here. So what do you got, buddy?
I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying your own show. you know, since you were twisting our arm to call, I felt compelled to do so. And as you were reading off your list there, I actually have another question I'd like to squeeze in after my first one, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. First one is, and it's going to be a little difficult, but I just want to give you that heads up.
Sure.
Considering that you think that Christians should be involved in politics,
yep.
Do you think there's room for other religions in politics?
Yes, there is room there because our Constitution permits it. And just to be fair, they have the right to run for office as well, and they have the right to be represented by their voters, and they have the right to do what they want, atheists as well. I support everybody's right to run for office and let the population decide. I don't have a problem with that. And Christians need to be involved with running for office, just like everybody else. Okay.
Cool. Good deal. Yeah. All right. Second part.
Oops. Oh, hold on, man. There's the music.
Okay.
We got a break. So perfect timing. They'll get to the second one after the break. Okay, buddy. All right, Jamal. Hey, everybody, hold on. We'll get back with Jamal here in a sec. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, we'll get back on the air here with Jamal. There's a mouse. There it is right there. There we go. Back to Jamal. Hey, okay, you're back on the air, buddy.
All right, thank you, sir. My second question is, that list you read off, considering how bad the Democratic Party was, why is it that they have such a pull among minorities?
Because they've been smarter than They've been smarter than the Republicans and the conservatives, because the conservatives don't believe in lying and misrepresentation. They believe in honesty and integrity. It's not above the Democrats to do that. And that's not to say every Democrat's a liar and a deceiver. That's not the case. But we do know that they, when they, because there are many that are very honorable, but the thing is that we know that when they are, the people who support abortion, support homosexuality, they don't have any moral anchor. They have what they think is moral propriety, but they don't have it. What the Democrats do in order to get votes is they get into power and they start saying things that people want to hear. They're ear ticklers. We will help you in your cities. We will help you get this. We'll help you get free that. More of this, more of that. And I think there's 12 Democratic-run cities where they're completely run by Democrats. The crime's out of control. The drug use is out of control, etc. The facts are there that when Democratic people get, the Democrats get in control of things, it's really bad, bad, bad. Now, Dinesh D'Souza did a thing, what was it? I'm trying to remember. And he talked about how the slavery is still in place in with a lot of the Democrats because of what they do. They keep the people oppressed. They promise them minimum health care provisions. They don't give them what they really need. They don't give them an opportunity to really excel. And he laid out five things. It was very good, and I got to get those. I got to write those down so I can repeat them. Give him, of course, the credit. And it was like, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. Because in slave mentality, the slave holders, they don't want the people to have power. They want them to think they're okay and free. You know, it's slavery. They're not. And in the idea of these inner cities, you keep them under control. And the way to do that is through poverty, and you can let drugs get in there. And come on, think about it. Where's the most violence? It's in the places with the most gun control. It's just ridiculous. Mm. And so there's all kinds of stuff. I'm not even articulate in this area, but the statistics are there. The facts are there. When the Democrats get control of cities, things just go downhill. It's just the way it is. And then they get on the news and promise this and promise that, and people just believe them because they're used to watching TV. Here's an experiment to do. Sit in front of your TV, literally sit in front of your TV and just watch your TV and watch and count 1001, 1002, 1003 before the angle changes on the camera, before it flips to a new angle. Uh-huh. And you'll see that the angle, I've done it before, it's like every 2 seconds. And some shows it's longer because of the nature of a show, like you get Seinfeld, they had a lot more lengthy. But we watched a movie last night, Gopher Broke, about the Japanese regiment, 442 in World War II, and how great they were. And so they were longer scenes. It's a great movie. It's not the best, but, you know, done 1951. But called Gopher Broke. Any rate, so you can see the difference in how things were presented. The reason I'm bringing this up is because what it does is it causes a lack of long ability to concentrate. It trains the brain for short entertainment, short things. So any real level of research and paying attention for long periods of time is not something that we're used to doing. And so suspect that that's part of the problem. I used to go into self-hypnosis. This is no joke. Self-hypnosis, I'd be studying so hard. I would actually say to my wife, I'm going to be studying, I'm going to be going in deep. And that meant, don't come up to me too much, because I go so deep, it's like I wouldn't even hear her. And once she told me that she was standing there for a minute before I kind of finally looked up and said, yeah, because I would go into this. Okay. Well, it's a little bit of an autism thing I've got. But for normal people, they like entertainment. And you watch commercials, you watch TV, you'll see. It's very quick, very quick. Now, what does that do to your brain? Just pay attention to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And you don't take time to process, to review.
Also, short attention span.
Exactly. And so, what do they do with the Democrats and the news? They give you these sound bites. And, you know, for example, I've watched some of the leftist programming, and they'll say, so-and-so, because he doesn't want gun control, is a racist. Oh, because he does want gun control, he's a racist, you know. Or because he's not for, what was it, for registration to it, for identification, for your voting. Well, that's racist. What? How is it racist? They just accuse and accuse and accuse. And then the minorities will say, oh, so the Republicans are racist. Why? Because we hear that they are. It works. That's all that goes on, but they're not, because they don't do any critical thinking. They're not taught. In fact, you got me going, buddy. I was talking to my friend a couple, 3 days ago. I've known him since 1980. We got talking. And I told him that back in high school, I graduated in 1975, way back in the dark ages. And I remember, okay. I remember that they weren't teaching us anything. The only place I learned anything was in mathematics and science class. And everything else was nothing. No critical thinking was required. None. Mm. I actually remember thinking, they're teaching us how to be stupid. I took all the hard classes on purpose. I did. And I took trig, I took algebra, I took geometry, I took physics, chemistry. I took all this stuff. I wanted to be challenged because I knew I needed education. But most people, they don't care. And so when they get out to vote, they take that attitude with them. And, you know, so it happens.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because a lot of people buy that narrative. And I am officially, as of, I think, 2 years ago, officially unaffiliated. I'm independent because I have to vote the way Jesus would like me to vote, and don't really subscribe to any one party. Because if I buy the line that any party, any person says, that means I've made an idol out of that person, out of that party. So if they say we're going to do here and do this rally, we're going to go here and vote this way, hop on board, Jamal. Wait a minute, I'm not beholden to you. I don't have to follow everything.
Right.
Even if you follow the majority of what the left says, you dissent from them one time, and all of a sudden you're labeled as whatever bias, whatever prejudice they want to throw at you. I myself have been labeled, you know, some unfortunate labels. I'm like, wait a minute. All because that I'm for voter ID. All because I say I'm not really going to vote for this one black candidate. But you just replaced all the other things that I said I'm for with you guys. I'm actually an environmentalist, but I'm an environmentalist within reason. You know, I put, again, God first, I put people first. I'm not with the Green New Deal to where AOC says we can't fly planes, that we have to refit every building with bamboo. We think we have a bad supply chain now. Good luck with getting rid of the plane shipments and all that. That airlift that was out of Afghanistan, it would have been a boat lift. I mean, how long would that have taken? So when you have just simple, honest questions like that, and then when you are attacked for simply asking questions, that is when you have to look at that party. It's like, why are you guys so distinctive? That's another word I want to look for. You want to be so accusatory just by asking a simple question. And evidence of that is social media. You just ask a simple question about, well, were the elections fair? He's one of those Trumpers. He's one of those January 6th rioters. Wait a minute. I didn't say I was there. I didn't say I rioted. I just want to ask a question. So things like this, it's occurrences like this that really have to, you know, if you're truly, truly objective, that have to make you ask a question. Who's the one that's accusing folks of being X, Y, and Z? It ain't really the conservatives. They're for freedom of speech. They might not agree with you, but they will fight for your right to say what you want to. And that's pretty much what got me to the place I am right now.
So, Jamal, if we have any open houses that are on for sale, I'm going to let you know you can move in my neighborhood. Okay? You're all right, buddy. You are all right.
Well, thanks, sir. Well, you know, by your direction, you know, you really helped me a lot. That's another reason why I call in. I kind of want to keep following your direction. Now, I know you would say, well, it's all through God, and I know God blessed you to bless others. So, you know, I just want to give you good thanks for your props as well.
Well, by God's grace, and only by His grace. Oh, the other caller just dropped off, so it's just you and me right now. You said something in your mind, because I got some, I'm online. I got friends online, and some of them are black guys, and they've told me. They said, man, they got to be careful what they say in their family and their friends and their community. And they mean the black community. Because if they don't tote the party line, they're ostracized. And I'm like, you're kidding. Yes. You know? And they go, oh, yeah, it's serious. It's bad. Is that what it's like? Have you had the same kind of thing? I don't know if you're black or guy. I don't know. Are you? I guess you are.
I'm a black guy. I'm willing to admit that. Okay. And he's right. you know, it's a terrible thing. And part of my shock is, like, wait a minute, guys. It's not like I was unaffiliated just yesterday. I've been a lifelong Democrat. You know, my family, my background have been Democrats. So, you know, it's not like I've not been a part of your camp. It's not like I don't know who you guys are. This is not a Benedict Arnold type of situation. I'm just, you know, not going to follow behind one particular person. Now, I've admitted that you guys have some good ideas, but just because I'm not signed off with you guys, I mean, I'm part of the enemy now? Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus talk with tax collectors? Didn't he talk to prostitutes? Mm-hmm. So if Jesus can talk to the so-called enemy, how come you guys can't do that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. In fact, I was a Republican. See, I was a Republican. I gave that up umpteen years ago. I said, I'm not. Those guys are lame. The Democrats, the Democratic Party, in my opinion, is anti-American, and the Republicans have one foot in with them and one foot in with the normal people, regular people, and even then, they're just rhinos. And so I consider myself a constitutionalist, but also independent. I'm not loyal to any party, just like I'm not loyal to any denomination. I want to know what the facts are. You give it to me. I'm not going to be voting for anything that's going to be pro-homosexual or pro-socialism. I'm not doing it because I know what history does with it. I know how it goes. You know, and killing babies? Come on. Abortion is horrible. And look what they're threatening to do. Man, it's they're killing them. Oh, man. Oh. Sorry.
I got a couple of friends who might be listening right now. Shout out to the Conservative Party. The Conservative Lunch. That's a group of guys who I meet with. We talk about things like this. Mike Owens, he's the host of the Conservative Lunch, and he is a constitutionalist. We also have a frequent visitor by the name of Dr. Kristen McMasters. She is a political science major. She specializes in the Constitution. So we are very pro-Constitution in our group. So when you say you're a constitutionalist, that's right up our alley. I got another guy named Bill Eiderman. He is pro-life.
You know, these guys should call up sometime. They should all call up, and we should do an interview or something like that. I'm thinking about doing something with Carm. Hey, buddy. Look, Jamal, man, I've got to go. Sorry, buddy. Love you, man. Keep it up, all right? All right, God bless.
All right.
Hey, folks, there we go. We're out of time. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back later tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.